Welcome to the Great Awakening Ministry. I am Minister and Yogini Joanne Lee. And on this week's show, we have Jackie Lynch. Jackie is an award-winning nutritionist, author, speaker, and the founder of the Well, Well, Well Nutrition Clinic, where she has helped thousands of women take control of their health and navigate the menopause with confidence. Passionate about breaking the taboo around menopause, she hosts the hugely popular The Happy Menopause podcast, which was shortlisted for the International Women's Podcast Awards. She is a highly respected voice in the field and is a fellow of the British Association for Nutrition and Lifestyle Medicine and a member of the British Menopause Society. Jackie is the author of the best-selling The Happy Menopause Smart Nutrition to Help You Flourish art book, which was highly commended in the 2021 Health and Wellbeing Awards, and of VavaVoom, the 10-day energy diet, and the Right Bite, smart food choices for eating on the go. Her new book, The Happy Menopause Guide to Energy, Nutrition to Rejuvenate Your Brain and Body, is by Watkins and is out now.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Well, Jackie, I really would like to welcome you to the Great Awakening Show.
Thank you very much for having me.
Yeah, it's really great. And your beautiful book, The Happy Menopause Guide to Energy, Nutrition to Rejuvenate Your Brain and Body. So first of all, for our audience, Jackie, can you please tell us, because the menopause, it's such a confusing time. Why is the time of menopause so confusing and so debilitating, you know, to women during midlife? It really is such a tough time for people, women, at the, you know, the menopause. Tell us why it's so confusing.
Yeah, it's a great question. I mean, the truth is that perimenopause and menopause do come along at, frankly, the most inconvenient time in a woman's life. You know, we have a lot on. Women with children are grappling perhaps with, you know, the fabulous clash of the hormones in the household where menopause meets puberty, or maybe, you know, you're struggling with the empty nest syndrome. Professional women have more pressure at work, more responsibility usually. We're the sandwich generation, so we're also very often caring for and worrying about elderly relatives. And then there are the whole other things. There might be health issues, emotional issues, relationship issues, money worries, the state of the world. There's a lot going on in midlife. And then guess what? Your pesky hormones start fluctuating. You know, in adolescence, we didn't have anything like the level of worries that we do at this other great hormonal transition that we encounter. So that's a challenge. It's a challenge in and of itself, because any great transition in the body will bring its complications and its difficulties. But the big thing is that stress is a real issue. You know, we are very stressed with all this stuff that's going on in midlife. And stress really is the enemy of the menopause. The more stressed you are, the worse your menopause symptoms are going to be, because stress directly interferes with the body's plan B for menopause.
That's so true. And that is so true for PMT and for menopause, because I've, you know, that the month before, you know, leading up to your period, if it's been a really stressful month, you'll have a very bad period and more PMT symptoms and tensions. And I think that the more, you know, you are stressed like that as well, and you're not calm, and you're very nervous and anxious, that will cause menopausal symptoms to be more intense for you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And so this is lovely, because I mean, your book, The Happy Menopause Guide to Energy, it couldn't be any better than that, because so many women are like, oh no, they dread it. You know, they dread it like they dread their periods, you know, and they think that it's a negative time, but it doesn't have to be. And that's what I teach women as well. You know, the periods don't have to be negative. You know, it's society has conditioned us to think that it's a negative, you know, dirty time or whatever. But actually, it's a very psychic, very intuitive, very deep, going within time, which can really help a woman, in her life. We just have to change it around, and for the menopause as well. So, how can we make menopause a happy experience?
Yeah, it's a great question. Well, I deliberately chose the branding, the Happy Menopause, for my books and podcasts because I do feel very strongly that it's a time of life that's worth embracing. I get quite worried about the very negative headlines, the scaremongering that there is around what's actually a natural transition and a natural stage of life. And lots of women in my nutrition clinic, in their 30s are now saying to me, "Oh, I'm scared, menopause is around the corner." And that breaks my heart
Yeah.
because that shouldn't be the case. We in the Western world, I think, don't value older women in the way that in perhaps more traditional societies and sort of ancient tribes and so on, the wise women of the village were very often sort of the leaders and the ones that everyone looked up to.
Yes.
Women, I think, often have a sense of feeling invisible as they start to move through menopause. But the truth is, and one of the big things that's worth holding on to, if for any listeners who are thinking, do you know what? Oh, I am worried about this. The great news about menopause is that the hormones that have been driving your instincts, your choices, your thoughts since puberty, everything you've done has been driven by that. They start to decline, and that gives you headspace. And you've got headspace to become perhaps the woman you've always wanted to become. You've got the
Yes.
headspace to think about how you choose to spend your time, who you choose to spend it with, what you like to focus on, perhaps think about new projects. So for me, I really, really like to position it as not a door closing on the end of your fertile years and, oh Lord, it's all downhill from now on, but on the contrary, a door that's opening to a whole new world of possibility. I think it's really important to see that.
That is so very true. And it's a time of letting go of the old and becoming the wise woman. It's the wisdom years. And that's what they say. A lot of shamans and women elders in other countries, you're holding on to your wisdom blood. That's what they say. You're holding on to that. You're not releasing that anymore. And that makes you the wise woman in the tribe. That makes them the wise, and that's the woman that all of the people go to, for their knowledge, for their wisdom. They are revered. But in our society, we don't see that. Younger women with their youth and their physiques are more revered, but that's completely opposite. And now I think that it's time to listen to our elders, especially elder women and the elder grandmothers, because they've got the medicine, they've got the knowledge of life experience, haven't they? The wisdom.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
Absolutely.
it's so true. It's so true. And in your book, The Happy Menopause, A Guide to Energy. So let's just talk about the energy first of all, before we go on to the nutrition. Well, how do you give us some ideas about, helping our energy, raising our energy vibration, and how your book, The Happy Menopause Guide, what you say in that about women's energy at that time?
Yeah, it's a really good and very big question. So in my nutrition clinic, women come to see me for a variety of reasons. It might be they're worried about their hot flushes. They're looking for nutritional solutions to help them through their various menopause symptoms. Perhaps it's anxiety or they're struggling with digestive issues. They rarely, occasionally they do, but they rarely come to me specifically around low energy and fatigue. But every single one of them is exhausted.
That's
Not
the
just
basis of
physically,
it. Yeah.
yeah, they're not just physically exhausted, they are mentally exhausted. And that's the thing, we've got a lot going on in midlife, as I've already said, and the change in hormones will definitely affect that as well, so that you'll feel more physically tired and your brain won't be firing on all cylinders. A lot of women struggle with issues around brain fog, poor memory, concentration. It can also lead to issues around anxiety and loss of confidence as well, which all of these things can be really draining. So I just thought, you know what? I'm going to pick energy as the big symptom to focus on in this new book, because if we can get the physical energy back, so we've got our strength and stamina, and we get the mental energy back, then we can take on the world. Women are amazing. So there's so so many ways that diet and lifestyle can help with that. And so in the book, what I'm doing is I'm inviting people into my nutrition clinic, because not everyone, can come and do a clinical program with me. But in the book, they can go on that clinical journey as if they were doing one of my 12-week programs. And chapter by chapter, they'll work through the different areas, whether we need to look at getting those essential health checks, because we're often not very good at doing that. And as we move into 40s and 50s and beyond, we need to. Looking at the balance of macronutrients, so the proteins, fats, and carbohydrates that are the fuel for our brain and body. And then looking at the potential micronutrient imbalances, so those vitamins and minerals. So have you got enough of X or Y? Is there a functional imbalance that might be affecting you? So I've got some quite fun quizzes in there as well, actually, which allow people to get a sense of where the issues might be and where they can work through the book and draw out their own personal energy plan. So it's all about empowering women through about their energy.
Yeah, and that's so important. And some foods are, very good for helping with the energy, aren't they? Can you give us some foods that are good for raising our energy?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, there's a big sort of demonization of carbohydrate these days. A lot of women on very low carb diets. I'm of the generation where when we were young women, it was all about low fat, but
Yeah.
now low carb is the thing. It goes in swings and roundabouts. And we mustn't forget that carbohydrate is our primary source of energy. It is the body's preferred source of energy. And if you're on a very low carb diet, you might be feeling a little bit tired. And carbohydrates are broad church. That's not that I'm saying, oh, eat loads of chocolate and donuts or whatever, which, okay, yeah, that's refined carbohydrate. I'm thinking whole grains, so real whole foods, brown bread, brown rice, brown pasta, pulses, lentils, chickpeas, beans, and vegetables, fantastic sources of carbohydrate. So making sure you're getting plenty of good quality fuel, because, if you think of cars, if you haven't got any petrol in the tank, well, you're not going to get off the out of the parking spot, are you? And we're just the same. So we need that fuel. And then alongside that, we need the micronutrients, those vitamins and minerals, which actually are the catalyst nutrients in the chain reaction of energy production. Because here's how it works. The body takes the food that we eat, so those carbohydrates, fats, and proteins, combines it with oxygen, and through a series of chain reactions, will create the energy we need for every body cell. Now, the links in that chain reaction are things like B vitamins, vitamin C, magnesium, iron, vitamin B12. So making sure you're getting plenty of these foods is really important. So in terms of specifics, because I know that's what you want, dark green leafy vegetables packed with magnesium. Magnesium is our ignition key. So if you are feeling tired and jittery, as if you're sort of operating on sheer willpower and just clinging on by your fingertips, the chances are you're low in magnesium. And things like spinach, rocket, kale, watercress, cabbage, and broccoli, really great sources of magnesium. Making sure you're getting plenty of iron. If you're low in iron, you're going to feel both physically and mentally exhausted. And there is a tendency towards a plant-based diet now. And we just need to be a little bit careful because some women don't absorb plant sources of iron as effectively. So if you're not able to eat things like meat or fish or eggs, you'll have to work a little bit harder and think about things like tofu that is a good source of iron, getting those leafy greens, but also making sure you're looking after yourself and getting a blood test just in case you might need some
That's me
extra
as well.
support.
That's me. I'm plant-based, and also B12. The B means that's really important for a vegetarian or a vegan.
B12 particularly, because all of the B vitamins are found in most foods in small quantities, but B12 only in animal sources. And
That's
women often say to me, oh, but I've been vegan for 5 years and it's only now I'm feeling tired.
right.
Well, the body can store B12 for up to 3 to 5 years, so it can catch up with you.
That's amazing.
So often people think, well, it can't be that because I've eaten like this for ages now.
No.
So if you're not getting those animal sources of B12, then you definitely need to be supplementing if
That's
you
right.
are
And
a
you
vegan.
can get shots for that as well, or which are really incredible, these
I mean, a
days.
lot of women can't absorb vitamin B12 correctly. That's a condition known as pernicious anemia, and therefore supplements won't help. And that's where your doctor will be looking at a quarterly injection, actually. Because it will bypass the gut and it will go directly into the bloodstream. Because Don't mess about with this. Vitamin B12, if you're
Yes.
low in it, can make you feel dreadful. It
Yes.
will
Dangerous.
affect cognitive function, memory,
Thyroid, it affects,
concentration,
yeah.
absolutely thyroid, but also strongly associated with low mood and depression. So if you're struggling with those sort of things, do speak to your doctor, do make sure you're getting the support you need and the blood tests you need, because we shouldn't guess with this stuff. That said, if you're vegan, yeah, you should be taking a B12 supplement because you're not getting it. And although you might think, yes, but there's a bit in Marmite and it's added to cereals, it's actually a really small dose and it's a bit of an artificial form of it, so not necessarily as absorbable as you might need. So a good quality supplement's a bit of a non-negotiable. But
Definitely.
beyond that, you do need to be careful about iron, because
Yeah.
iron is unusually, the body cannot excrete iron. And often women think, oh, I'm tired, it must be iron. And they start taking iron tablets without testing. Now, that can be harmful because if you can't excrete iron, it will build up in the tissues if you don't need it. And
Wow.
that can lead to a form of toxicity. So if you think that iron's an issue, go to your doctor and get a blood test. And then you'll know for sure. Because it might turn out, oh my goodness, it wasn't the iron, it was the B12. Oh,
Yes.
and I was taking iron tablets and I didn't need them. So
Yeah.
yes, operate on facts.
That's right, and it's quite similar,
The symptoms.
symptoms for
Very similar.
low iron and low B12. Wow.
The station that makes you feel good. The station that makes you feel good.
That's amazing. And how does it help women repair their physical strength, stamina, mental clarity, and creativity? Your book, I mean, it's all about energy and nutrition, isn't it? But give us some other ways to for our mental clarity, creativity, stamina, and strength through this midlife time of menopause.
Okay, lovely women. If you're not eating enough protein, and you probably aren't, because we women are a bit rubbish at this, men are so much better. They have it down. They get their protein. They know instinctively they need it. They take a very dim view of any meal that is obviously not rich in protein, and they're right. We, on the other hand, can skate through the day without an ounce of protein and finally have a bit of chicken or tofu in the evening. It is not enough. Now, we need protein with every meal and every snack, and here's why. Well, our entire DNA is made of protein. Every body cell, our bones, our muscles, our organs, everything, our skin, our hair, our nails. But in terms of that mental clarity you're asking about, the body uses the amino acids found in protein-rich foods to create key neurotransmitters that regulate things like mood and memory and focus and concentration, all these things that women are very often struggling with in midlife. And it's easy to blame the menopause and say, oh, it's my hormones, it's that menopausal brain. Well, sure, it might be your hormones. But here's the question: are you actually giving your body the tools to do the job? Because the body's got one job, and that is to keep us alive. That's all it's got to do, that's its sole purpose. And if you are not eating enough protein, it will send the protein to your vital organs, your heart, your lungs, your liver. It doesn't care that your hair's getting a bit thin or that your brain's a bit foggy, because neither of those things will kill you. But if your heart's not working or your liver isn't, well, that could be a big problem. So making sure that you're getting plenty of protein. And when I say protein, I'm thinking meat and fish and eggs and concentrated forms of dairy like authentic Greek yogurt, sort of 9 grams of protein per 100 grams, I'm thinking. Or cottage cheese, another concentrated source of dairy protein, because dairy is protein, but it's not as concentrated as the other animal sources. So if you're having it with your cereal in the morning, that's not really enough. I would add a couple of tablespoons of pumpkin seeds, sunflower seeds, ground
Yes.
flax seed, chopped
Chickpeas
nuts.
are rich. Chickpeas for plant-based, chickpeas are really
Sure, but maybe not
and
with your morning cereal.
no, like for dinners, and things
No,
like that,
sure. But often women think, oh, I'm having yogurt in the morning, that's enough. But you just need to top it up a little
How
bit.
much is protein, do they say? They say 10% a day, don't they?
Well, I tend to not worry too much about the numbers. I think in the morning, you just need to make sure you're getting, if you're having eggs, it's 2 eggs. If you're having cereal, 2 tablespoons of nuts and seeds with your milk or your yogurt. For lunch and dinner, I tend to say a fist size because that's going to be very proportional to you. So that's about the size of a chicken breast, a salmon steak, a portion of tofu, and it'll be your fist, not anyone else's. So you're not faffing about with your calculator trying to work out how much, protein you should be having per kilo of body weight because life's frankly too short. But a quarter of the meal, quarter of the meal should be protein at lunch and dinner, about a fist size, and then you're not going to go far wrong.
Lovely.
Now, don't forget the plant proteins because I listed all the animal ones, and we've touched on a few. So lentils, chickpeas, beans,
Lentils,
hummus, fabulous sources of protein.
mushrooms.
Also, soya, quinoa, nuts and seeds.
Quinoa,
Now, here's the thing with protein. You get there's something called a complete protein, and a complete protein contains all the essential amino acids in one easy package. And the body takes the essential amino acids, combines them together, a bit like the spectrum making more colors of the rainbow, and creates the rest of the amino acids we need. Now, the good news is for anyone who's on a carnivore, is that all animal proteins are complete proteins, but most plant proteins aren't.
So you have
Soya
to
is an
eat a wide
example.
variety of them
You
to get them
do. You
together.
have to mix and match, so
Yeah,
not
but
just the same
isn't
old
you can
beans.
get plant protein in plants protein as well.
Yes, you can, but not as much and not as complete. So you've got to think harder. It's perfectly possible to have a brilliant and very healthy vegan diet, don't get me wrong. But you need not just one type of your favourite bean, but different types of beans, different types of lentils, different nuts, different seeds. And I always try and suggest to my ladies in clinic that they have at least one complete protein every day. So that might be that they have some soya every day or a portion of quinoa, hemp. Is a plant protein that's complete. Spirulina. Now, both of those are a bit hardcore and not to everyone's taste.
Moringa. I take my moringa in my smoothies every morning with my hemp
And that is going to
and
help.
seeds, all the
But
seeds.
seeds are great, but you need to mix and match your seeds because they're not complete proteins, hemp aside. So it's about thinking a little bit harder. And if you're making sure you're getting a complete protein at least once a day, then you can mix and match all the other lovely plant proteins and you'll be fine. But it does require a bit more brain power to have a really good quality vegan diet. It's brilliantly healthy, but you need to work harder than someone who can just think, oh, I'll have some sardines and bingo, it's sorted.
Oh, wow. And so nutrition is the most, I mean, what do you think? I mean, apart from nutrition, I mean, for the menopause, that's the number one for you. That's what your book is all about, isn't it?
Yeah, well, I'm a nutritionist, so
That's
I'm
right.
always going to focus on my area of expertise. But it's as much about what you're putting in as what you're taking out. Because obviously, I've talked a lot about the macronutrients and the micronutrients, but there are a few things that are causing us trouble and that we might want to rethink a little bit in terms of broader menopause symptoms, but also
Lifestyle, things like
specifically.
that.
In terms of energy. Well, before we get to that, I'm thinking about things like caffeine and alcohol and sugar. Now, keeping your blood sugar nice and balanced is a great shout for menopause because every time your blood sugar drops and you experience that crash, that dizziness and headachy and desperate for something sugary or carby, your stress hormones are released. And I'm willing to bet that most of us don't need more stress hormones. Now, the problem we've got, and I touched on this right at the beginning, is the body's got a plan B. That's not the problem, that's good. The problem is we can't always activate our plan B. Because Mother Nature didn't just leave, us to the menopause. Of course, every body system has got a plan B, a backup plan. And the body's backup plan is that as the estrogen level starts to decline from the ovaries, the adrenal glands take over and produce a weak form of estrogen post-menopause to keep us fit and well, which is great. The problem is the adrenal glands also produce the stress response. So, as I mentioned before, the body's job is to keep us alive. The stress response, that fight or flight response, is a life-saving response because we're still programmed genetically for about 10,000 years ago. So when adrenaline and cortisol come out, they're thinking imminent physical danger, saber-toothed tiger or similar. And so if your blood sugar crashes, they want to take action. Now, That means that the adrenal glands are going to spend all their time continually pumping out adrenaline and cortisol if you are chronically stressed. So you're not going to produce the estrogen you need to feel okay and to feel well during menopause. And I want to come on to stress shortly as one of those lifestyle things you just touched on, because that's a huge issue. But from a dietary perspective, keeping your blood sugar balanced is one way to make sure that you're not adding more stress hormones to what's probably already a very stressful life. So keeping your blood sugar nice and balanced with that complex carbohydrate I talked about earlier, the brown stuff, the whole grains, the vegetables, and protein, fiber and protein, every meal, every snack. That's going to stop the spikes and the troughs that really will affect your energy levels, your mental clarity, but also make your menopause symptoms worse. So think about that sugar, because it is not your friend. Secondly, let's talk alcohol. Sorry.
Let's talk about the poison. It's
Yeah,
poison
now.
typically to the body.
Alcohol really is a killer when it comes to menopause symptoms. And if you are struggling, particularly with hot flushes and night sweats, then you could do a lot worse and take a good month off, because it can really reset things. If you're thinking, yeah, no way that's going to happen, well, at the very least, I would consider 4 consecutive alcohol-free days each week. Consecutive is important because it gives the liver time to catch up on its many jobs, a bit like you switching off the Wi-Fi so you can clear your inbox out, because there isn't a load of new jobs coming in. It's got over 500 jobs, the liver. It's a very busy organ, and detoxifying our alcohol is just one of the jobs we keep it busy with. Now, if we're giving it time to catch up, it can focus on, guess what? Hormone balance, excreting and metabolizing estrogen, energy production. Yay, if the liver's happy, you're going to be producing energy. So giving yourself a break can make a big difference to your menopause symptoms. And in energy terms, a lot of people who drive themselves on caffeine, more on that in a second, will then think, oh, I'm just going to have a nightcap now because I need to calm myself down and then I'll be ready for sleep. But here's the thing, alcohol directly interferes with our sleep cycles.
Does
We
it
have
so
really
much?
does, yeah. We've got 90-minute sleep cycles, and you need to complete a sleep cycle for it to count. So if you wake up, you won't, when you go back to sleep, sort of finish off that neatly. You'll start another one. So often you might have a series of broken sleep cycles, which means you'll wake up feeling very unrefreshed. Whereas you might only do 3 full sleep cycles, so technically quite a short night, but you feel much better because it's 3 full sleep cycles. So within that 90 minutes, you've got rapid eye movement sleep, REM, and that's when we dream. And that should be 20 minutes because it's quite a sort of active, disturbed element of our sleep. Alcohol prolongs that. So suddenly it's not 20 minutes, it's longer. And that's going to then affect the length of time we spend in our slow wave deep sleep. So you're going to wake up feeling unrefreshed. So really important to think about the role of alcohol in our sleep and our energy levels.
Oh, alcohol is the worst. And also, alcohol in the system affects it. Even if you're not going through the menopause, it will make you flush. You get a flush face, yeah, anyway. So it's going to make the hot flushes even worse, and
It eats you
it
up.
really does disturb your sleep. It's very, even if you do drink a gallon of water before you go to bed, the alcohol is still in the system.
Yeah, it's still doing its thing and it's still going to be disruptive. And then caffeine. So when I say caffeine, I'm thinking tea and coffee, also green tea, because it contains exactly the same amount of caffeine as black tea.
Green teas are terrible. You can't drink that before you go to bed, otherwise you'll be up
A lot of people think it's herbal. And lots of antioxidants. It's not a bad thing,
It's a
green
good
tea.
thing.
But swapping your black tea for your green tea and having 7 a day is not going to reduce your caffeine levels. So it's worth noting that. Also, sodas, so things like Coke or Pepsi or Red Bull, these energy drinks, they're all full of caffeine. Now, first of all, caffeine is a really powerful stimulant and it really does affect our sleep. And Everybody listening will probably know that already. But
Yeah.
you might think it's not the caffeine, because I've always had a cup of tea or coffee in the evening, and it's only now that I'm struggling with sleep. Well, here's the thing. The enzyme in the liver that breaks down the caffeine, first of all, some of us have a more effective operation of that enzyme, which is why some people can have coffee in the evening and others have to stop at lunchtime. But as we age, and specifically as we go through menopause, the ability of that enzyme to do its job effectively can change. And so you might find that what suited you before doesn't suit you now. You might need to audit your caffeine intake so that perhaps 4 o'clock is your cutoff time or lunchtime. So really important to think about that, because again, you don't need me to tell you, if you don't get any sleep, you're going to be tired. So it's a quick win for energy. But the other, and sort of perhaps broader, more interesting thing that you might not be aware of, is that caffeine is what's called an adenosine blocker. And adenosine is a chemical that is a key part of our sleep-wake cycle. So as we go through the day, adenosine levels start to gradually rise because it activates drowsiness and gets us ready for bed. Caffeine directly blocks adenosine. Now, what that means is it's going to disrupt the whole thing. So even if you're having a, caffeine at lunchtime, you're going to block the adenosine, and then you know that feeling when the caffeine's worn off and you think, "Phew, I feel exhausted." It's not just because the caffeine's worn off, it's because the adenosine's thought, "Oh, crikey, I need to catch up," and it's going to go whoosh and rise right up. And you'll be thinking, "Oh, I need another coffee. I'm in a right state here." And so you'll have another coffee and you'll block the adenosine again. And so your sleep-wake cycle is going to be completely all over the place.
That's
And
right.
over time, it's going to add up to, a real sort of chronic state of low energy because you're just not working and operating correctly.
That's so true.
The station that makes you feel good. The station that makes you feel good.
And it's amazing that you said green tea, because so many people don't understand that. And I'm like, I can't even drink green tea after 2 o'clock. I can only drink it in the morning, yeah? Because if I drink it after, I guarantee you, I will be up awake and I will not be able to get asleep. It's even worse than drinking a coffee, after that cutoff period, because yeah, it's and also. They de the coffee and tea, they dehydrate our system. They take water out of our system,
They
don't they?
do. Absolutely right. And just 2% dehydration can affect your energy levels by 15%. That's 2%. I mean, I'm probably 2% dehydrated already because I've been talking a lot and I can feel thirsty. So
That's
that's
right.
already, that small amount can affect you. So you imagine the diuretic effect of caffeine and alcohol really dehydrating you. You're going to feel absolutely tired. And that's why if you've overdone the wine, you are lying on the sofa the next day. Forget the headache. It's also that sense of lethargy that will come because it's really affected your energy levels.
Yes, and that's why we have to drink so much water. We have to hydrate our system. We're like 75% water, aren't we? I within all of our bodily systems and cells. It's so important to hydrate the system.
I mean, hydration's a key one. And people often say to me, well, how much? And, is it 6 to 8 glasses of water? Is it 1.5 to 2 liters? I mean, how big's the glass?
Yeah,
That's
that's
the thing.
right.
Who knows?
Yeah. And
So.
do you think that people who don't drink enough water, not only is their skin, you can tell, I can tell people who don't drink enough water, by their skin, but also they get aches and pains in the body. Dehydration causes aches and pains in your body because you're not squeaking, you're not lubricating your joints and your body,
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, we need water for every body cell to do its thing. We need the water for the brain. We need water for the skin. We need water for our joints. We need water for literally everything. And if we're not getting enough water, then we're going to feel rubbish. And it's such a quick win in improving the way you feel. So, in terms of what's right for you, the easiest way is to actually look at the color of your urine because it should be a pale straw
Ale.
most of the time. If it's darker than that, you need to hydrate. If it's completely clear, then you might have been overhydrating, and you just need to be slightly cautious because that can disrupt mineral balance, might affect the kidneys, which you don't want over a longer period of time. So keep an eye on that. But it's not unusual if you've just done a gym session and you've drunk a whole bottle of water for that to happen. But then you probably don't need to sort of drink for a little while, and the balance will come back in play and it's fine. So think about that. Think about the fact that what will work for you. So some people will work really well with one of those hydration apps that you track. Others will think, oh my God, that does my head in. I'll just have a jug of water on my desk and finish it by the end of the day. Some people might like to have a hydration buddy, so you sort of, discuss with each other and remind each other. Important not to get obsessive about this, because you can overhydrate, as I've said, and we don't want that happening. But just sort of making sure that over the course of the day you're getting stuff, and creating triggers. So perhaps thinking about, okay, it's lunchtime, I'm going to have a glass of water before my meal. Oh, it's the end of the day, I'm closing my laptop, glass of water. Just these little prompts
Yes,
that start to become a habit, and
that's
that'll help you
right.
top up, if because not everyone has that thirst reflex.
No.
I'm very fortunate. I am
Oh my, I'm like you as
thirsty.
well. And it's like normally every hour that I just naturally have a big glass of water. Not a little one. None of this little sipping. You've got to take the whole glass, probably every hour.
I mean, actually, interestingly, of course, anyone who has headaches and migraines will be aware of the importance of hydration. And studies show that although it's great for most of us to be sipping throughout the day, not a problem, but if you're looking to deal with headaches and migraines, an interesting study showed that it's actually about having a large glass of water at fixed points over the day rather than
Yes.
The same amount of water, but just sipping it. So that's quite interesting for anyone out there who has issues with headaches or migraines.
Beautiful. That's so important, isn't it? Yeah. And what are the top mistakes women make? I mean, we've touched on a few of them, but let's just go through them, with diet, in midlife. Let's just put them all together,
Cool.
because so many
Okay.
people really, really, women really, there's so much disinformation out there as well,
There's
and misinformation.
a lot of dis and mis going on, absolutely. So I've already said talked about protein. For me, that is one of the big mistakes women make, not eating enough protein. But here's the other one, which is a biggie for my generation, because as I said earlier, we were brought up on low fat. Rosemary Connolly's hip and thigh diet will ring a bell with a lot of people, I'm sure. So most of the women in my clinic are still terrified of fat. They're still terrified of fat. And it's a shame because, if fat wasn't called fat, we probably wouldn't get so confused. I mean, there's an obvious logic to thinking that if you eat something called fat, it will make you fat. But here's the thing. The first thing the body does with fat is not to turn it into fat cells. It's actually excessive levels of carbohydrate, which is the faster route to weight gain. Now, don't get me wrong, you eat too much of anything, eventually you'll get fat. But fat is used by the body to create sex hormones. And if ever there was a time in our life when we needed sex hormones, it's during the menopause. And it's not just any old fat it takes, it's saturated fat. Because people might think, oh, but I have my omega-3, I'm taking my supplement. Yeah, that is mono and polyunsaturated fats, the essential fatty acids. But saturated fat is what the body uses. Now, we don't need vast amounts of it. We need about 20 grams a day for women, 25 for men, and good quality sources of saturated fat. So if you eat meat, then you'd be thinking of grass-fed beef, for example, or really good quality, organic full fat, please, everyone, yogurt, hummus, full fat hummus. If you
Hummus, yeah.
start to look at the label with something like hummus, it's a bit of a scandal, really, because hummus doesn't really, they're worried about too much saturated fat, so they take out all the fat. But in hummus, it's mainly monounsaturated fats, which are great for the heart. And so all they've done is add more salt to add the flavor, because if you lose the fat, you lose the flavor. So you're just having a product that's a bit more processed and not as nice and not as good for you. So I really push people to think about full fat yogurt, full
Yeah.
fat cottage
What
cheese,
about
full fat milk.
avocados and olive oil?
Avocados and olive oil are the essential fatty acids. So these
Right.
are the Olive oil is omega 9, avocado oil actually. And that's a monounsaturated fat, which is really good for the heart. So these essential fatty acids play a big role in heart health, brain health, the nervous system. So also really important, but the body won't use them to make sex hormones. Coconut oil, though, for a vegan diet, is a good source of good quality saturated fat, for example. So it doesn't have to be the meat or the yogurt or whatever. So think about that. And just nuts and seeds, great sources of fat. And so many women say to me, "Oh, well, what snack can I have?" And I say, "Well, why don't you have a few almonds, 7 or 8 almonds and an apple?" "Oh, but yes, nuts, aren't they fattening?" Like, "Yeah, no, they're not. I mean, obviously, if you eat, 100 grams of
Nuts,
nuts,
and they
that's
give
going to
you
bring
protein as
problems.
well.
Great source of protein, great source of fiber, great source of your omega fatty acids.
Yes.
So, they're a quick win and they will fill you up because things that are rich in fat activate the satiety response, which tells us when we're full. So, if you have a really good quality, maybe you have, a couple of eggs at breakfast, all that lovely fat, or maybe you have, full fat yogurt or all those nuts and seeds, at breakfast time, then you're not going to have the munchies mid-morning. If you don't have that fat, then pound to a penny, you're going to want the biscuit, the cake, the chocolate, whatever mid-morning. And you don't need me to tell you that that's not great. There's nothing nutritious about that. Nothing wrong with the odd treat or pleasure, of course. But thinking about getting really good quality fat in your diet will really support you and your hormone balance, and also counterintuitive to what you've been thinking, help with your weight management.
Yes, and it's good for the brain.
Oh. Well, the
Fat
brain
is
is made of
essential for the
fat.
brain, isn't
Yeah.
it?
Yeah. So those mono and polyunsaturated fats are really important for the brain and the nervous system.
Brilliant, absolutely fantastic. So let's prioritize. So we've gone for let's prioritize some foods, that are the most essential. The vitamin. What is to some of the foods that give us all round vitamins and the minerals that we can have every day?
Okay. Well, every food
Has
contains proteins, fats, carbohydrates, and the micronutrients that we need, but to a greater or lesser degree, it's the ratio that will change. That's why a balanced diet is so important because, if you look at something like an egg, and including the egg yolk, you've got loads of protein in the white, and then the yolk, which is the nicest bit, is the vitamin A, it's the selenium, it's the B vitamins, it's the omega, and also the saturated fat. So it's got all of those things in. And then if you take something like dark green leafy vegetables, which for me are a bit of a one-stop shop for menopause-friendly nutrients, you won't have the protein in there and you won't have the fat, but you've got the magnesium. Interestingly, kale contains twice as much calcium per 100 grams as milk, for example.
Yes,
So, it
I love
doesn't
kale,
always have to be around the dairy. It's a great source of vitamin C, really important for the production of collagen. Now, you might think about collagen for your skin, and it's true. We need collagen to keep our skin plump and elastic. But we also need collagen for our bone matrix. We need calcium to keep our bones hard and strong, and we need collagen to keep them flexible so we bounce and don't break if we fall over. So vitamin C is what the body uses to create collagen in a form that we recognize rather than stuffing ourselves with an artificial form that the body doesn't know what to do with via a supplement. What else have you got in leafy greens? You've got iron, great source of iron. A lot of women struggle with heavy periods and flooding in perimenopause, so that's really good. Vitamin K, great for the bones. So dark green leafy vegetables, great source of sort of one-stop shop
What about
vitamins and
fruit? Because
minerals.
you just mentioned vitamin C.
Well,
Fruit.
fruit's not the best source of vitamin C. Actually, a raw red pepper contains about three times as much vitamin C per 100 grams as an orange. And dark green leafy vegetables about twice as much. Now, don't get me wrong, an orange is a good source of vitamin C, of course it is. But if you're thinking, oh, I need more vitamin C in my life, I would think veg, not fruit, quite honestly. Then you've got more in the way of fiber and all these other minerals that I've mentioned as well. So you get the sort of extra bang for your buck that you were looking for in the what are the best foods for us to have.
Beautiful, absolutely beautiful. Wow. And Wow, I mean, you've just given us so much information, Jackie. It's like an overload of all the important things that we need as we go through menopause. And of course, it nutrition, but we are holistic. So, having that sensitive time on your own, doing your meditation, doing your yoga workout and your exercise, and the way we think is very important because that affects our cells and the energy it affects, it can affect the state of our body. So, having an all-rounder, but I think nutrition is probably the one thing, but then having all the rest of it together is really important, isn't it?
You're absolutely right. In the book, I actually have a jigsaw explaining that, it's all about the jigsaw. Yes, nutrition, but also lifestyle. Thinking exercise is really important.
Yes.
And actually, weirdly, when you're tired, you think, oh, I'm too tired to exercise. But if you do exercise, it actually generates energy. So you have to sometimes just give yourself a little push. Things like yoga are fantastic because,
Yeah.
for menopausal women, yoga is weight bearing. So those
Mm.
poses like downward dog and plank, really good weight bearing. So that's going to be good for your bones, but
Yes.
also really important for your balance because there are so many balance poses.
Yes.
And then the great thing is the breathing. That
Yes.
breath work, because again, studies have shown that something called paced breathing, which is rather, we typically breathe in and out about 13 or 14 times per minute. But paced breathing slows it down to about 7 times per minute, longer, slower breaths in and out, which yoga, of course, is so good for. And that studies have shown can reduce issues around hot flushes.
Jackie, where can we read your wonderful book, The Happy Menopause Guide to Energy, Nutrition to Rejuvenate Your... There it is. Look, Brooke, yeah, it's lovely. Yes.
Well, you can find it in all the usual places. So, whatever your favorite bookstore is, whether you're all over the world, so you can find it on Amazon, you can find it in Waterstones, Barnes and Noble, Chapters, wherever it is that you like to get your books, you will find it. And you can also follow me on social media at WellWellWellUK, and there are links in my bio to help you get there if you're still not finding it, but you will because it's everywhere.
Lovely. Well, Jackie, thank you for all of your wise wisdom today. So needed to help women at this really important time of their life. So thank you for being on the Great Awakening Show.
Thanks so much for having me. It's been great to chat to you.